hello, we're back with 10 Minutes of Talmud, and today we're going to find out that all the month of Adar is good to go for Purim. Yay! We'll say our blessing and be on our way. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher tichanu u'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Okay, so we're in Yerushalmi Megillah, chapter 1, Mishnah 1. I'm going to move us a little bit further down the text. We had finished the, where we were talking about the idea that Purim could be the 12th, the 13th, the 14th, the 15th, you know, that it was basically a potpourri of dates on which you could read the Megillah. So, and now it's going to get even more liberal than that. So if you're in the Schottenstein, this is 1b1. It's just a little bit further down the text from the Mishnah. Okay. Tanei b'shem Rabbi Natan. So we learn in the name of Rabbi Natan. Kol ha-chodesh kasher likriyat ha-megillah. The whole month of Adar is fit for the reading of the Megillah. Woo! It just got liberal. Now, the Schottenstein here has an interesting note, which, I don't know, it just kind of shows you the delicate dance they sometimes have to do. This paraita is not contradicted by our Mishnah, which states that the Megillah may not be read before the 11th or after the 15th, because the baraita refers only to one who will be hard-pressed to read the Megillah at the proper time, e.g., he plans to travel, and no Megillah scroll will be available to him on Purim. This halakha, which authorizes a traveler to read the Megillah from the first of the month, does not appear in Bavli. It seems, therefore, that the Bavli disagrees. Nevertheless, one who has no other alternative should follow the Yerushalmi's ruling. But he does not recite the blessing for the mitzvah of reading the Megillah. And should he subsequently obtain a Megillah on the 14th, he should read it again, this time with a blessing. This is what I think we would call splitting hairs. The Yerushalmi's coming straight out and saying it. You know what? If you're not going to be in town for the reading of the Megillah, for the whole month of Adar, go ahead. Read the Megillah. It's a short book. Today, I can't imagine that this would be a huge problem because most of the people that I know have the Bible or a prayer book or whatever on their phone. But, of course, you know, in the year 400 CE, not everybody has a cell phone. So they are willing to say, all the days of Adar, you can go ahead and read it. Okay. So, where on earth do we get the scriptural support for the idea that you could read the Megillah the whole month of Adar? And here's the quote. The Hachodesh Asher Nehafach Lahem Miyagon Lesimcha Vagomer. Okay, and that's a verse from Esther chapter 9, verse 22. So in that verse it says, and the month, the whole month basically, right, that was transformed for them from sorrow to gladness. The verse depicts the month as a time of celebration, thus providing for the Megillah to be read on any of the day of the month. Okay, no sweat. Amar Rabbi Chelbo, so Rabbi Chelbo adds in here a little bit. Ubilvad ad chamisha asar. He says, no, let's limit this a little. He says, you can read the Megillah from the 1st to the 15th. Okay? The Amar Rabbi Abahu b'shem Rabbi Elazar, that Rabbi Abahu says in the name of Rabbi Elazar, lo ya'avor, it shall not pass to observe these 2 days, the 14th and the 15th. The lo ya'avru, and the next verse states, these days of Purim shall not pass. The latter verse teaches that the Megillah may not be read later than the 15th. All right. I can take it, I can leave it. I don't know about you, let me know. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachman b'shem Shmuel. So Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachman says in the name Shmuel, he's going to give us a different scriptural proof. Lo ya'avor, it shall not pass. Lo ya'avor, and it shall not pass. The extra and conveys the Megillah may not be read after the 15th. So you're getting a consensus that after the 15th, don't read the Megillah. But certainly from the first day of Adar to the 15th, you're good to go. Read it whenever you want. Enjoy. Have a party. You know how Mardi Gras in New Orleans is, it's not just one day. It's kind of a whole season. It's kind of like that. You know, how do I say this? You know, we have so many days in Judaism that are sad, right? Anniversaries of this death or that tragedy, whatever. And the high holidays, which are basically profoundly scary. It's kind of nice to have a piece of Judaism that's just like, let's party. Let's have some fun. You know, you can't have a religion that's all doom and gloom, or at least I don't think you can have a really successful one. So, I don't know. That's just my take on it. All right, so we continue. Hadada'at amart l'kri'at l'migilah. That which you say applies to the reading of the Megillah. Aval la'asot u'da. But when it comes to making the Purim feast, einan osin ella ba'arba'asar uvachamisha'asar. You only do that on the 14th or the 15th. Now let's review. There are four mitzvot for Purim. Reading the Megillah, having a feast, sending presents of food one to another, and giving charity. So they're saying, look, you can read the Megillah days 1 through 15, but the feast, that's only 14 or 15. That's those days we're going to settle on it. All right. Ve'ein mechalkin la'aniyim ela ba'arba asar uv'chamisha asar. And we don't distribute the gifts to the poor except on the 14th and the 15th. Okay. Ein eineihem shel aniyim tluyot ela ba'arba asar uv'chamisha asar. Okay. Because the eyes of the poor are not set. People don't have an expectation of getting these gifts or this charity on any other day but the 14th and 15th. So you give charity when people expect to receive it. You know, people are counting on you. So there they're going to be a little more precise, a little tougher. Okay? All right, we'll pick up here tomorrow. Talk to you then. Bye.